It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is your daily crypto news for Friday, April 5th, 2024. My name is Matt. Before we get started with Asia Focus, please do me a favor. Go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Click them 5 stars and leave us a comment if you can. Tell people about this podcast. And if you're so inclined, please do me a favor and go to Substack and sign up for there. We put out extra content. We put out our daily news there as well, plus summaries and other content, including my political rantings and ravings and so on and so forth. So if you want extra content, please consider joining us on Substack as well to include more one-on-ones and more exclusive interviews. Now, let's get into Asia Focus.
Hey, this is Sarah. I'm back with yet another juicy crypto news from Asia. Welcome back to Asia Focus. Let's go. Binance linked HKVAX. I don't know how to call this exchange name. HKVAEX exchange is closing down and has withdrawn their application for an operational license in Hong Kong, according to a notice on the Securities and Futures Commission SFC website. This exchange, operating under the name BX Services Limited, formally withdrew its license application on March 28th, approximately 3 months after it applied with the financial regulator. Then early on, March 29, the company announced a phased suspension and closure of its service, saying that users can withdraw their assets by April 30th because there will be a complete closure of HKVAX's official website on 1st May 2024. Another exchange is closing. Not a big news, right? But again, I've been saying Hong Kong is dying in terms of this crypto war in Asia to determine who's going to be the next crypto hub in Asia. Obviously against Singapore, right? But actually, I'm not sure anymore. Let's see why in the next piece of news. The Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, on Tuesday announced amendments to their Payment Services Act, which is PS Act, to include custody and transfers in services within the digital payment token, DPD, or rather, cryptocurrency sector. Under this amended PS Act, cross-border money transfer between different countries, DPT custodial services, and DPT exchange facilitation, basically crypto custodial, crypto transfer, are all going to be closely monitored. For entities that are currently already conducting these activities, the regulators will offer so-called transitional arrangements. They should notify MAS within 30 days and submit a license application within 6 months from April 4th. So, like I said, it seems like Singapore is also quite tight in terms of exchange regulations as much as Hong Kong. I think that the difference between Singapore and Hong Kong right now is that Singapore at least has some activities that investors come in and investing into the crypto projects, and people are still there to conduct different crypto related activities. And it's Singapore is without a doubt staying in the vibe. And I know it's very hard to materialize that vibe, but when it comes to Singapore, the people talk in a very different way in terms of their crypto business. There is no fear in conducting crypto business. There is no uncertainty per se in conducting crypto business. But in Hong Kong, again, tied to China mainland, there is a lot of uncertainty going on in terms of who is going to visit Hong Kong also. I'm not sure. Well, it could be just my conspiracy theory, but we'll keep an eye out for who survives after submitting these applications for a proper license in Asia. The owner of Thai crypto exchange Bitcup Online plans to go IPO next year and is in the process of hiring financial advisors. This Thailand's biggest crypto exchange provides about 80% of the Bangkok-based parent's profit and is 9.2% owned by Asphere Innovations. The initial public offering is expected to value the exchange at around 6 billion baht, which is around $165 million. Jirayut, the CEO of Bitcup, said. Bitcup recorded total revenues of 2.8 billion baht, which is around $76 million in 2022, a sharp decline of 48% from its heyday in 2021, when it had 5.5 billion baht. And I would like to tackle this with the next news again. In the neighboring country, South Korea, we have Bithumb backtracking their attempt towards IPO. I did not expect that these news to be so connected, but it's my own curation. Reason being, anyways, they got a 57% loss in annual revenue for the fiscal year of 2023. We all know that, of course, like 2022, end of 2022, it was not awesome. 2023, it was full crypto winter. And the Seoul-based exchange annual sales revenue fell 57.6% to 1.358 billion Korean won. That is around $1 million in US dollar in 2023, down from 3.2 billion won in 2022, according to an April 2nd report from a Korean news outlet, New Daily. The main reason behind the financial losses in the decrease in the value of cryptocurrency, of course, due to this crypto winter. But we have to remember, Bithumb also offered a free trading policy during the fourth quarter of last year, when it was kind of still we were in the winter, which was very, very brave. And that was around the time that this IPO rumor came up, which contributed to, I guess, the exchange's failing revenue. They still are now offering the lowest fee in Korea. Anyways, and then Bithumb has reconsidered its IPO plan because their former chairman Lee Chung-un, his role in the company came under scrutiny, suggesting internal issues within the company. Of course, according to Bithumb officials, the IPO wasn't delayed due to their legal issue related to the chairman, but due to reassessment of internal strategy during the evolving institutional landscape. Anyways, you can see the dynamics in an Asian exchange. Bitcup in Thailand had around $76 million revenue in 2022. They're planning for IPO. And Korean exchange, who had about $2 million revenue in 2022, is not going to IPO. Of course, each IPO will take place in their local stock exchange, but you get the general picture, I would say. Anyways, I support Bithumb as well. I just can't let Upbit, you know, the exchange that everybody knows, becomes the monopoly in Korea. That's all for today.
Moving into some news on this side of the pond. The Ethereum NFT-driven property Doodles announced on Thursday, which is yesterday, that it's developing an animated film called Dollsville in the Doodleverse. Horrible name. But it's going to feature some prominent musicians such as Pharrell, Lil Wayne, and Coi Leray. Doodles tweeted out that this is going to be a groundbreaking storytelling experience from Doodles and Pharrell, and it's coming summer of 2024. This is going to be the first animated special, and it will be accompanied by Doodle Records' original soundtrack with three music videos featuring the artist I just said. This Doll's Villain, the Doodleverse, will premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival. The one point of this article that I found was really interesting is the CEO said that they were working on this for about 2 years with some of the biggest animation studios in the industry to adopt their IP into a global entertainment franchise. However, with countless meetings and offers on the table, they decided to pivot. And the CEO said that, give up control of our own destiny? He said not on the table. So it looks like people were giving them offers but wanting to control their IP and to control their brand. And if there's anything I learned over the past years of doing different things and creating content and brands is don't give up control. Don't give up control unless you are getting a massive payday that will take care of your life, your kids' lives, and your grandkids' lives. Make sure that if you have something that people want, you keep control and you monetize it yourself. Temperatures are soaring in Paraguay and air conditions are on full throttle. The country's power grid is on the ropes. It's getting strained. And they're struggling to keep the lights on amidst this electricity demand. The government then is looking at crypto mining farms, and they said that they've been guzzling gigawatts like there's no mañana. Actually, that's what Jose Antonio Land said, a writer from Decrypt, and I thought that was hilarious. Hilarious is a big word, but like there's no mañana, it made me giggle this morning. So there you go. I gave it to you, too. So as a way for Paraguay to combat the strain on their power grid, they made some new legislation, and they said that the creation, preservation, the storage, and commercialization of virtual assets or crypto assets, cryptocurrencies, and the installation of crypto mining farms in Paraguay's territory is temporarily prohibited. The bill proposes that the ban is going to last either 180 days or until proper regulatory framework is established, meaning that 180 days is bullshit. It looks like it's going to be until regulatory framework is established. To be honest, I think this is very reasonable for a country like Paraguay. Like, look, if you're in the United States or if you're in, like, a developed nation, there is no reason why they're banning different companies or different practices, Bitcoin mining, so on and so forth, because of their infrastructure or their power grid. It's like, if you cannot handle an influx of business and it's taken from your power grid, it means your infrastructure sucks. And there is no reason why the United States doesn't have the money to develop proper infrastructure to handle a strain on electricity. A strain on the power grid. And this is the same conversation about EVs as well as Bitcoin mining. Like, if you can't handle EVs, why not? You're the United States of America, or you're the EU, or you're Australia. Get your shit together and build proper infrastructure, right? We're always going to need more electricity. We're going to need more energy. Always. So let's get that going. With that said, if you're a developing nation like Paraguay, like, I understand, like, their infrastructure might not be there, or their GDP, or their income, or their tax revenue isn't enough to be able to upgrade their power grid or upgrade their infrastructure overnight. So I get it. I think that this is actually a pretty reasonable statement from them. There might be unintended consequences of this ban, but I would say that if it's because of the power grid and their infrastructure, then this seems reasonable. If it is using the power grid or their infrastructure as an excuse or as a way to ban cryptocurrencies because they just don't like cryptocurrencies, or central bank or some other kind of regulatory or economic power is forcing them to do this because they just don't like crypto, that's another thing. But I can definitely see that some countries are going to have a strain on their power grids and they don't have any way to upgrade them. Unlike the United States, which has the tech, the money, debatable the money, but has the tech and the money, just not the will to upgrade our infrastructure, they might not. And so I've been talking about Bitcoin's price for a while and what I think is going to happen after the halving. Like I said, everybody was really happy and pumped yesterday that Bitcoin was going to go up and it hit 69,000, and now we're back down. I don't know what the price is. We'll get into that in a little bit. But here's my prediction, not financial advice, obviously, is that we are going to go sideways until the halving. We are 14 days until the halving. I don't think we're going to pop back over 70. And if we do, it's just going to be a blip and we're going to be back down. After the halving, we're going to drop even more. I think we're just going to have a shock to the system. We're getting 6.25 Bitcoin for mining rewards down to 3.125. So I think that's going to be a huge shock to the system, and the price is going to drop. Once that is all factored in and there's going to be that squeeze of supply and demand, we are going to have a monster parabolic rise. And I don't think that's going to happen until July. And how long until Grayscale's Bitcoin is going to run out? And that's another question. The fund has over 328,000 Bitcoin right now. That's around $22.6 billion. They're selling around 5,092 Bitcoin a day. They started out at the beginning of this year with 618,000 Bitcoin. And so if they continue on this pace, it's going to run out around July 8th. So that's when I personally think we're going to see a parabolic rise in Bitcoin. Now, here's another question. There's been a lot of bullish sentiment because it seems as though there's a lot of banks that are going to Bitcoin miners directly to get the Bitcoin because they said that there's no place to buy the amounts of Bitcoin that they want. So this raises a question to me about these spot Bitcoin ETFs. If spot Bitcoin ETFs need to close out the books at the end of each trading day, right? So say if you're BlackRock and you have $1 million of net inflows in Bitcoin, you need to have that Bitcoin closed out at the end of the day, and it has to be in Coinbase, their custodial service, right? So $1 million of Bitcoin has to go there. And so if you're not being able to get this Bitcoin, there's two things that could happen, in my opinion. Number one, we absolutely go parabolic and the price of Bitcoin goes up so much because we have to get the Bitcoin out of the hands of the hodlers. And either that's the Bitcoin miners, the individuals. And when are you going to sell your Bitcoin? Is it going to be 140,000? Is it going to be 200,000? Is it going to be 300,000? Is it going to be $1 million Bitcoin? We don't know. That's the market price discovery. Sooner or later, somebody's going to sell. And that's when I think we're going to go parabolic. The second one is maybe we'll just stop net inflows because there is no Bitcoin to do the thing that they needed to do to close out the books at the end of the day legally. And so if this Bitcoin isn't there, you're not just adjusting the price of Bitcoin. You actually need to have buyers of Bitcoin at a certain price to close out the books. So I'm wondering if we're not just going to stall for a while until we have new price discovery. So I'm wondering if there's really there's a supply crunch, therefore a number automatically goes up. Or if there's going to be, a supply crunch, and we stall for a while until there's new price discovery, or there's ways to figure this out until a number goes up. I don't know if it's actual just like, we have a supply squeeze, number go up, because these are actual Bitcoins with a limited supply that people have to get rid of. And they have to get rid of them in an amount that will satisfy the buyers. And I don't know if that's going to happen. And so it might just go like, hey, is the market stalled until we say we figure out what the new number is to get people to get rid of those Bitcoins? Is it going to be 70,000, 80,000, 90,000? Yeah, some people are going to sell some Bitcoin at 90,000, but is it going to be enough? Is it 100,000? Can we actually have a market with a very limited supply operate in an efficient manner? And so I personally am looking at this going, are we really going to go parabolic off the bat once we have this supply crunch? And if banks are actually going to the miners directly to buy Bitcoin, are they actually going to be selling and getting the amount of Bitcoin to satisfy the demand? And then how long does it take for that price discovery to play out? And I don't know if there's going to be a lull in the market, a sideways movement, and then parabolic. And then when it goes parabolic, in my opinion, that's when we're going to see monster jumps. But I think it's going to be kind of fearful until we get to that point. Again, totally could be off base. I don't know anything. If you think I'm totally off base, please let me know. Matt@dailycryptonews.net. Now let's get into those crypto prices.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
And the time is 10:18 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have fear greed is at 75. We are greedy, heading toward extreme greed again. 5 points away from extreme greed. Kathy Wood is still offloading Coinbase to rebalance her books. She offloaded around 6.4 million shares of Coinbase. Coinbase is currently trading at $253.12. It's up, 1.4% since the open. And I just want everybody to remember that I sold my Coinbase shares at around 147. And it makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. Even though it was the best thing to do for me at the time, I'm still pissed. Bitcoin's sitting at $67,914, up 0.5% in 24, down 3.6 in 7. Ethereum's at $3,308, down 2%. USDT is number 3, Binance is down 1.4% at 583, and Solana's at 175, down 7%. 7%. This is not time to fear. This is time to BTFD. Everybody, I know what you're thinking. You're like, but you told me to BTFD at 180 or 185. Yes, and this is another D. So BTFD. USDC is number 6, XRP is number 7. And by the way, we missed this news yesterday. Ripple is set to launch a USD-backed stablecoin on Ethereum and XRP Ledger. And it's going to be fully backed by US dollars, short-term US government treasuries, and other cash equivalents. So we have another stablecoin player in the market. Dogecoin is number 8 at 17.4 cents, down 5.3%. Cardano's number 9, and Toncoin moved into the number 10 spot. It is up 6.2%. The total market cap is $2.5 trillion. It's down 1.5%. A Bitcoin dominance of 52.8 and an ETH dominance of 15.7. And Dog With Hat is down double digits. Everybody's saying, oh, what happened to Dog With Hat? It's last week gains are totally wiped out. It's down 12%. It's at $3.41. But if you look at the whole month, it's still up like 60% on the month. So we're doing okay if you are a Dog With Hat hodler. I don't know why you are, but if you are, I hope you made a grip of cash. And I hope you're taking profits. Anyway, that was our show today. I'll be back on Monday. Until then. Happy hodling, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.